Our reading this morning is Jeremiah 9, verses 23 to 26. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh, Egypt, Judah, Edom, Ammon, Moab, and all who live in the wilderness in distant places. For all these nations are really uncircumcised, and even the whole house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart.
Well, do keep that passage open, and we'll pray for God's help. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is inspired by your Holy Spirit and true and authoritative, your own message to us. And so we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would work powerfully in each one of us this morning, that we may understand your word and believe it and turn from our sin and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom it speaks. And in whose name we pray. Amen. One of the comic characters of P.G. Wodehouse is Mr. Mulliner, not quite as well known as Jeeves and Wooster. Mulliner is a pharmacist, not just someone who doles out the medicines of others. Oh no. Mr. Mulliner patents his own medicine. The comedy of the stories results from the unexpected effects of these medicines, in particular from the not yet patented concoctions, the most famous of which is Buck You Apo. Mulliner's Buck You Apo has all the power of Red Bull, laced with amphetamine. The most famous episode is where Mulliner's nephew, who is a curate, is entertaining the bishop and gives him an excessive dose of Buck You Apo. You can imagine the consequences. Joking apart, I wonder if you've come to church today in need of a lift, in need of a tonic. Perhaps you're very tired. Perhaps you've suffered greatly. I want to administer a tonic to your soul today. And it's this. You can know God. Or maybe you do know God. This is the greatest treasure, the greatest tonic. John Newton, the 18th century Christian leader, said this: when his wife was ill, which she often was, he said, "Let us suppose the thing we are most afraid of actually happens. Is he not rich enough to give us something better than ever he would take away from us? Is not the light of his face better than life and all its valued enjoyments?" And then he says in another place, "Thus alone is the proper ground of glory and joy if we know the Lord. Then all is safe at present, and all will be happy forever. Then whatever changes may affect us, our best interests and hopes are secured beyond the reach of change. And whatever we may lose or suffer in this little span of time will be abundantly compensated in that glorious state of eternity which is just at hand." whatever you've suffered will be abundantly compensated if you know God. That's where we're going this morning. The context of these verses is that God is going to pour out a dreadful judgment, a dreadful punishment on the people of Israel because of their sin. They'll be overrun and defeated by the Babylonians in 587 BC, a disaster from which Israel would never fully recover. And we get a striking insight into the heart of Jeremiah, God's prophet, and an insight into God's own heart in this chapter. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. Oh, that my head were a spring of water, and my eyes a fountain of tears. I would weep day and night for the slain of my people. And then verse 17. Call for the wailing women to come, till our eyes overflow with tears, and water stream from our eyelids. The judgment of God is a terrible thing, and it breaks God's heart. He loves his people. He doesn't want to punish them. And so here in these verses, God offers a word of comfort. On the backs of your sheets, three headings: wrong boasting, right boasting, and why it matters. Firstly then, wrong boasting. Verse 23. This is what the Lord says: let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. The word for boast here means to praise or glory in. It's the same root word as hallelujah, which means praise God. Nobody likes a boaster. There's something empty about it. But we all have an instinct to glory in something. You know that Robbie and I like to go to rugby matches, especially international ones. And it is a form of worship. It's very obvious that the crowd are worshipping their heroes. I go along with it to a certain extent. I will stand up and applaud when the teams enter the stadium. I cheer for my team. But I'm pretty clear that they are not the object of my worship. But we all have an instinct to glory in something greater than ourselves. Could be cars, or houses, or money, or career. And God is saying we need to direct this instinct to worship in the right direction. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom. Is this your temptation? You think you're wise. This is a real challenge in our culture. We live in a prosperous part of the country. Many people think they've done pretty well for themselves. They think they've been very wise in their career moves, in their financial planning. There's a lot to be proud of. God says, don't. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength. Are you a fitness fanatic? Do you go to the gym? Do you go running? None of these things are wrong. But when we boast in them as the sources of security and happiness, well, then they've become our God. I remember we had a visiting speaker who'd been a rugby player, and Jack Miller and I were discussing how big this man was. And I said to Jack, nobody would mess with him. And Jack said, yes, he might be big, but he'd still bleed just like anybody else. In other words, Everybody is vulnerable. You see this a lot watching rugby. The professional players are massive now. And yet if they get a bump on the head, suddenly they're vulnerable. Or if they break a limb, off they go. Nobody should boast about their strength, because it will not last. J.P.R. Williams is one of the greatest rugby players of the 1970s. I see him from time to time, and he walks like an old man now. Strength doesn't last. Don't boast in it. Don't put your confidence in it. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast in their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. You may remember Conrad Black, the media tycoon, and his infamous wife, Barbara Amiel. Black's media empire stretched from Canada to Britain via Australia, and Black was eventually convicted of fraud. At the origin of Black's troubles with his shareholders and justice is a 2002 interview his wife granted to Vogue magazine in her London mansion, where she said that her extravagance knows no bounds. And then she showed off all her fur coats, all her sweaters, her shirts, her evening gowns, her dozen Hermes Birkin bags, 30 to 40 handbags made by Renault Pellegrino, more than 100 pairs of Manolo Blahnik shoes, and so on. And then there was all the jewellery. It was after this interview that Hollinger International, Black's company, began legal action seeking $1.25 billion in damages. And you know the story. Off to prison he went. Let not the rich, boast of their riches. This is a theme preachers love to hold forth on. I think it's because we take funerals, and it's a cliche that you cannot take your wealth with you. You can have a posh coffin, but it will still go into the ground, just like everyone else's. Wrong boasting. But secondly, right boasting. Verse 24. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me. Remember, we all have the instinct to glory in something, to praise something, to boast in something. What will that be? It should be that we glory in knowing God. Lord Melbourne, Queen Victoria's first Prime Minister, lamented at one point when he'd heard an evangelical preacher like me said, "Things are coming to a pretty pass if religion's going to start being personal." But that's exactly the point. God is saying that we may know him personally. We love to have our photo taken with someone famous. We love to think that for a brief moment we met a sports star or a singer or a great leader. God is saying, don't boast about all those things. Don't boast that you had 2 minutes with a star. Boast to yourself. Glory in, rejoice, praise the fact that you know me. Galatians 4:8. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable forces. There's the choice. No God, or slavery to something which is not God. Anything which masters us, anything which is the object of our devotion, if it is not God, it's a slavery. Jesus offers something different. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. John 17:3. When you know God, you have everything, and you're not enslaved to anything. You have heaven. You have a relationship with God. We all have these instincts to praise, glory, and boast. Well, let it be in God. The great preacher Don Carson says, "There is nothing more important in the universe to human beings than to know the Lord. He is God, not we. He is the Creator, not we. He exercises providential rule, not we. He is the self-existent one, and we are derived and dependent. He inhabits eternity. We are restricted to our own very small segment of time. He is utterly holy and glorious. We are massively contaminated by dirt and stand under his judgment. But we know him." Isn't that amazing? We know him. 1 Corinthians 1:31 summarizes verse 24. "Let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." I wonder this morning, are you thrilled that you know God? Does it seem the greatest thing in the world to you that you know him? If it doesn't, is it because you've given your heart to another? That false God will not last. We may not crash spectacularly like Conrad Black and Barbara Amiel, but we will crash. The, in many ways, inspirational Rowena Kincaid famously tried out her own coffin and plans to be buried in a Wonder Woman outfit. She was diagnosed with breast cancer at 33, was given only 2 years to live, and has fought on bravely for 7 years. She's been on television and the net demonstrating her positive attitude to death. However, all the positive mental attitude in the world will count for nothing if we don't know God. Let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. God is a wonderful ruler. He rules with kindness. He rules with justice. He rules with righteousness. Plato argues that there will be no end to the troubles of states, humanity itself, till philosophers become kings in the world, and political power and philosophy thus come into the same hands. I don't know much about Plato, but I think he was saying that rulers must have the ability to think so that they can bring about happiness and justice. Has it happened? We're privileged to live in the era of democracy. We are privileged. But have we eradicated poverty? Have we eradicated human suffering? Of course not. We need a king who rules with kindness, justice, and righteousness, who delights in these things. God delights in kindness, justice, and righteousness. The word for kindness is hesed, which is variously translated loving kindness, steadfast love, unfailing love. God is faithful to his covenant people. The word for justice covers the administration of God's kingdom as a realm characterized by the standards of equity and truth that reflect God himself. Righteousness refers to coming up to a standard. God always matches up to the norms required by his own character. Psalm 145, verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving towards all he has made. God delights in these things: kindness, justice, righteousness. There's a very famous book called Knowing God by Professor James Packer. And in this book, Packer recalls a conversation he had with a colleague, someone whose career had been unfairly cut off. His career had been stopped by a kind of glass ceiling imposed by his bosses because they objected to the man's Christian beliefs. The older man walked with Packer and explained the situation without rancor or bitterness. Then he added something. It doesn't matter, because I've known God. It doesn't matter, because I've known God. He described it all, and then he said, it doesn't matter, because I've known God. Can you say that this morning, as you look at life with all its troubles and difficulties? It doesn't matter, because I know God. Wrong boasting, right boasting, and thirdly, why it matters. Verse 25. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all who are circumcised only in the flesh. In other words, those who are outwardly religious, those who have the mark of religion on their bodies, but who, in verse 25, are uncircumcised in heart. They are outwardly religious, but their hearts are hard towards God. They do not have the mark of God on their characters. They do not love God. They're not trusting in God. All such will be punished. That's why you can't joke about death. You can't bravely try out your coffin for size and plan to be buried in a Wonder Woman outfit. There is a day of judgment when our hearts will be judged. Are you ready for that day? The wonderful good news of the gospel is that so much does God want to know you and for you to know him that he gave Jesus, his only son, to come to earth to be our Saviour, to die on the cross, taking the punishment for the things we've done wrong, so that we might be forgiven and know God. I want you to know him. I want you to know him better. But more importantly, God wants you to know him. Will you come to him today? Will you stop trusting in anything else and come to God, the only one who can give you purpose for this life, and the only one who can give you security for the next? Will you come to him? Let's pray. Moment of silence for each one of us to respond to God personally. Maybe that you've come here today and you realize you don't know God, and you want to say to him now, "Please, Lord, I want to know you." Well, here is an opportunity for you to speak to God. Father, thank you for the great privilege of knowing you. Please would it be true for each one of us here today that we do actually know you. And please keep us from boasting in anything else other than that we know you as our Lord and our Saviour. So Lord, help us to live for Christ, live for knowing him, enjoying him, and serving him. In whose name we pray. Amen.